Moncrief on News Talk.
Imagine being able to hold your breath. This isn't connected to the previous item at all. Imagine being able to hold your breath for 29 minutes and 3 seconds, something that Vitomir Maricic from Croatia did last year. Vitomir, good afternoon.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, you are a free diver, and that's unassisted holding your breath. How long can you hold your breath for when you're free diving?
Well, there's different disciplines in freediving. So, for example, if I'm going for depth, in some extreme cases, I will be there for maybe 5 to 6 minutes. And when I'm holding for the discipline of just holding the breath as long as possible, then my personal best is 10 minutes, 8 seconds.
Okay, all right. Which by itself is extremely impressive. But for this world record, this was, as I understand it, this was in a pool. And you take oxygen beforehand.
Yeah, this discipline, when you just hold your breath for time, otherwise all the disciplines are either for distance in meters or depth in meters, but there is one for time and it's called static. So there is normal static, like competitive static, which is with air, and there is this static under the Guinness Federation, which is with pure oxygen, yeah.
Yeah, and how long do you take the oxygen for before you go in the water?
So you are allowed to take it in the water or outside of the water for 30 minutes before your actual dive. But it's up to you how long do you want to take it for. Me personally, I use it for about 10 minutes because the more you use it, the more stressed your organism becomes. It's the oxygen is also kind of ramping up your revs per minute in your body, so to speak. Your metabolic rate is increasingly higher and higher the more oxygen you breathe.
Mm. And I assume because it's pure oxygen, when you start holding your breath, there's more oxygen than normal in your system.
Yeah. In your system, outside of the lungs, it's more or less the same because we're always saturated to the fullest. But in your lungs, if your last breath is air, there's going to be only around 20% oxygen in there. But if you inhale pure oxygen, it's 100% almost. So you have immediately in your lungs 5 times more potential for holding oxygen-wise. There's other factors that affect that. But oxygen-wise, you're pretty much good to go.
Okay, yeah, right. So you're highly oxygenated. Then you go down to the bottom of a 3-meter pool. But even at that, I imagine, when does it's going to start hurting or feeling weird at some point? When does that start?
Well, that depends. That depends on the day, on the type of the body you have, on how well trained you are, and how good is your mental game. So it depends on a lot of factors, and also how much CO2 you're producing when you're holding, which is depending on your body type and on your thoughts. So if you can avoid overthinking, then you're going to produce less and it's going to be less uncomfortable, less painful. But either way, the more you go into it, the worse and worse it's gonna become. And then it comes down to your willpower and the tools you have for your mental playground. So focusing, defocusing, relaxing, zone relaxing. So sending yourself into trance or different states of mind that are going to help there. It all comes down to like how well you can manipulate your mind and looking at these things as informational and not emotional. So it's kind of a third person perspective on what you're trying to do.
Okay, right. So you're somewhat outside of yourself and not thinking about these things. So to a degree, are you hypnotizing yourself?
Well, I wouldn't say that that this would be like hypnosis per se, but hypnosis and trance and mindfulness, meditation, peak performance, zone, flow, all these states have one thing in common, and that's that they're all relying mostly on the subconscious patterns. The more you're using your prefrontal cortex and the more you're thinking with your conscious part of your mind, the more you're using energy and the harder it is. So all these states, they rely on something that is highly automatic. And then for me, this is being a professional freediver, this is something that I have like put into automatic mode to a very high degree. And on top of that, I have a series of tools that can help me switch from these conditions if I slip into something conscious, for example, dwelling on my destiny and why is this so painful and why do I need this and I don't want to be here and this is suffering and this is dangerous. So It's for me, it's easier to stay away from those thoughts than, let's say, for someone who would be attempting it for the first time.
Of course. So do you think of anything when you do this?
Ideally, you don't want to think of anything. So in a normal scenario, when I'm doing my normal dives, I'm really being completely empty-headed and I'm just solving problems as they go or thinking about technique, positioning and relaxation and keeping my mind completely clear and clean. And if the thoughts are actually coming in, then I approach them also from like a third person perspective, not really engaging with them as they were my thoughts, but just observing them from a distance.
Yeah.
However, this specific event, it didn't go as planned. So it was a lot of thoughts and a lot of work and a lot of suffering to push through it.
Oh, right. So what was at a certain point, did all your mental techniques maybe not work as well? And you're just, I'm lying out at the bottom of a pool and I want nothing more than to swim up to the top and take a breath.
No, I mean, the discipline, first of all, is not on the bottom. It's on the surface.
Oh.
You don't have to go to the bottom. You can choose where to be. But the most convenient is just to float on the surface with your head underwater. And it wasn't so much that the techniques failed. It was just a very hard day because on the day before, I already did 26 minutes and I still didn't fully recover to perform fresh. And it was the event day, so I pretty much had to do it. I thought it's going to be easier. However, it was quite hard and my body was not cooperating. I was really high on CO2 and it was very, very hard to push through. But yeah, thanks to the training and all those techniques, in the end, it worked out.
Yeah, but at some point, I assume you're experiencing pain. Where do you experience the pain?
Well, in this, like, for example, the day before when I was doing 26 minutes, it was almost emotionless and thoughtless throughout the whole process. And it became painful in the last 10 minutes, but nothing that it's hard to manage. And in this one, it became painful already after 10, 11 minutes. It became really, really painful with a lot of contractions and convulsions. And by the end, it was very, very painful and uncomfortable. I've had intestine bleeding from the contractions and cramps. And so it was a very, quite one of my hardest breath holds so far, for sure.
I would imagine so. And but then afterwards, after the 29 minutes, do you usually have to get some sort of medical attention?
No. As soon as you start ventilating, the body has an amazing system of auto-regulation. So as soon as you start ventilating, everything comes back to normal very, very quickly. Of course, because of the very much increased blood flow in the brain and the neurotoxicity of such high CO2 and the changes in blood pH, it's a very unnatural environment. So you take a little bit more time to balance everything out, and you're going to have a headache just because of the edema. But generally, after a breath hold, especially after a normal breath hold, it's literally seconds and you're back to normal fully. Even when you have an incident like a blackout, for example. If I would have a blackout on a normal free dive, I would be back in 2 seconds and back to normal, fully saturated and like I just came from a coffee.
Have you ever been scared?
This record in particular is a little bit scary because it's very extreme and it's very unnatural and unexplored. So there is absolutely no handbook or medical experience that can help in saying what happens if you push this too much. There is just speculation. So is it going to be a coma? Is it going to be stupor? Is it going to be cardiac arrest, respiratory arrest? No one really knows what happens when there is too much of CO2 there. So this one is a little bit scary, but I was trying to be very conservative with how I approach it. But other freediving, even world records that I've done are actually not scary at all. If they would be scary or risky, I would not do them. My health is my first priority. So as long as I think it's absolutely safe, I'm fine with doing them. But when I was younger, I did a lot of extreme sports and there I was kind of risking much more, but I guess that comes with age. Now at this age, I'm only happy to do things that just sound extreme, but are actually very, very safe.
Okay. Vitomir, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Vitomir Maricic there from Croatia, the current world record holder for holding your breath underwater.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.